The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sota has been dedicated by our good friends and Talmid, Mr. Haimi and Dina Dana, Hashem Yishmonem V'Chayim, for the success of their children, and especially the Fu'as Shelema Moshe Ben Dina, ולעילוי נשמת יוסף בן סרינה, דוד בן פרידה, נעיר בן זוהרה, משה בן פייגה רות, שרה בת אסתר, פייגה רות בת אסתר, אל אסתר בת יוכבת. רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תזכו למצוות. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Danny Safty, in honor of Meyer and Victoria Safty on the birth of a new baby girl, Devasha Devora Bat Mazal. Be'ezrat Hashem, she should be a source of pride to the entire family in Klal Yisrael. Behek Yireh Elohim Tinaten Amen. Daf Yud Aleph. Today's daf is being studied in the Nishmat. More Marat Zakenati Yafa Bat Sarah, more Zakeni Biyosef Ben Sarah, Rabbi Abraham Ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Kenihem Began Eden, Amen. The Tafis being studied for Hashem Imam, Moshe Ben Dina, Sarah Ruhama Bat Rachel, the Sarah Bat Rachel, El Nare Faranahim, Fatanefesh of Fuataguf, Fuatam Kerbala Babakhin, the Son of Omar, Amen. Again, today's Dafa Nyud Amud Bet, and we are right at the first wide line, starting with Tanu Rabbanan, or actually Avshalom Nitka'e B'Sa'aro. Just to review before we go into today's sugya, which at least in the beginning talks about Avshalom. Avshalom was the son of David HaMelech. He was the son of Ma'acha, who was David HaMelech's wife. David HaMelech took a lady in war, a Shivuya, like the Torah tells us, and he had a son, Avshalom, from this lady. Avshalom killed his brother, Amnon, when he went with Avshalom's sister, Tamar. As a result, he was exiled. Eventually, he made his way back to David HaMelech. Yoav helped him, Yoav ben Seruya. Initially, Yoav ben Seruya, who was the general of David, did not want to help Yoav, come back. So Avshalom burnt his fields. So then Yoav helped him. And then when he came back, David HaMelech wrote him a letter that he could take two men, prominent men, with him to Hebron, to bring sacrifices. He used that letter to muster up more than two, and he waged a rebellion against his father. David HaMelech was ousted from the kingdom temporarily, and he was on the run. He went to Yerushalayim, and then he raped the concubines of his father, the Pilakshim, and at the end, he died. What happened was, he was riding on a mule, and his hair got caught in the trees, and he was suspended from the tree to the ground. And the Gemara says Gehinnom opened up in front of him, or under him, so he wasn't able to even cut himself free, and eventually he got decapitated, and that's the way he died. This was a punishment for David, that his son rebelled against him for his sin that he went with Bathsheba. This was part of the sin. The Gemara Berachot says that as difficult as this was, based on what Avshalom did to his father, David HaMelech was happy that his punishment at least came via his son, as opposed to, let's say, a Memzer or an Eved or somebody else that would not have mercy on him. At least Avshalom didn't kill his father, which could have been worse. That's why David HaMelech says in the Tehillim, Mizmor le David, Beborcho mepene Avshalom beno. Mizmor le David. He was singing. Gemara says kinami ba'ayna. It should be a lamentation. He said no. He was happy. At least God punished him through his son, who was had more mercy than a stranger like that. So now the Gemara is going to analyze some of the pesukim in the story. Tana Rabbanan, Avshalom besaharo marad. Avshalom rebelled with his hair. Avshalom was a Nazir. Again, when we're talking about these people over here, you have to give them some credit. Avshalom did have a status of a Nazir Olam. Nazir Olam, as we learned, is able to cut his hair once a year when the hair becomes whitely, when it becomes heavy. But it seems that he was a Nazir, but he used his hair to become arrogant. You know, the exact opposite of what the Nazirut is supposed to do to a person. So it says, Shene Emar, Avshalom lo haya ish yafeh. There was nobody more handsome than Avshalom. Ubgaldeho et rosho, and he would cut, shave his hair from time to time. Vaya mikitz yamim li yamim, right, from year to year. Ashiri galach ki chaved alav. So it was heavy on him, so therefore he would shave it. Vishakal et se'ar rosho, and he would weigh his hair. Matayim shekalim be'ebin ha-melech. Weighed 200 shekalim in weight of the stone of the king, of the coins of the king, which is obviously was a very heavy hair that he had. Right, Tana. Even Chanchetavirim and Chesipori Shoklimba. It was actually the weight of the stone that the people of Tiberias and Sipuri used to weigh their, you know, their items. They used a stone. So 200 of those. So obviously it was very heavy. Yafichak, Netlabisar. Therefore he got hung on his hair. Or by his hair. Shneimar, Vayikrav Shalom Nefne Avde David. Avshalom called in front of the slaves, the servants of David. Avshalom rochev al haperet. He was riding on a peret. Peret is a mule. Vayavu haperet tachat shovach ha'elah ha'gedolah. The peret rode underneath the branches of a tree. Vayuhaz rosho be'elah, and his hair got caught in the tree. Vayutam ben ha'shamav ben ha'aris, and he got suspended between the sky and the ground. Vayaperet asher tachtav avar, and now the mule, you know, rode away. So he was just now suspended totally. Shakal safsira ba'ala mifsike. So he took out his sword and he wanted to cut himself free, you know, by cutting his hair so he could just fall down. At that moment, Gehinam opened underneath him and therefore he was not able to cut himself free as well. Vayirgaz ha-melech, and then eventually he died. Vayirgaz ha-melech vayal aliyat ha-sha'ar. David ha-melech, when he heard the news, he was upset, actually. It says he went up to the gate. Vayivk v'cho amar b'lechto, and this is what he said. Beni Avshalom. Beni Avshalom. V'yitin muti ani tahtecha Avshalom. I wish I could have died instead of you. Beni. V'ha-melech la'at et panav. He covered his face. Vayizak ha-melech kol gadol. Beni Avshalom, Avshalom, Beni. So the Gemara says, Hani temanya Beni lamadi. What did he say? He said Beni eight times in his crying, in his mourning. So the Gemara says, what is this eight times that he said it? So it says, Shiva'a de'askim shiva'a midrigi hinnam. Every time he said Beni, he was able to elevate Avshalom from one of the fires of Gehinnam. It seems there's seven furnaces. So David HaMelech now wanted to bring his son out. So Beni, every time he said it, he was able to elevate him out of one of the furnaces of Gehinnom. V'idach, and the eighth time, Ika de'amri de'karev re'shelega be'gufeh. Some say that it caused his head now to come back to his body, so at least his body was complete, because his head was decapitated. V'ika de'amri de'aitele alma de'aten. Some say no, it actually brought him to Olam Abba, the eighth time. So comes the Gemara and says, V'avshalom lakach, that goes back to a story. V'yatsiv lo b'chayav. The Gemara says that Avshalom made for himself a monument in his lifetime, a personal monument called Yad Avshalom. So it says he went and he took. So it says, "My lakach." What did he take? Amar shakish shlakach mekach ra la'atzmo. He took a bad deal for himself, which means. Yeah, was not a was a bad transaction. Yeah, when he put up the statue for himself, that was considered a bad transaction. bought the bad transaction about it. I guess his whole life, what he did, the Ge'ut and all that, did not... Okay, so comes the Gemara and says, "Et matzevet asher be'er mikamel." He built it in the Valley of the Kings. That's where he built his matzeva, his memorial. Amar v'harina bar papa be'etza amuka shel malko shel olam. When it says he built it in the emek, so emek also means not only valley, but it means depth, which means that Kadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated. This was from the depths of design of the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be'emek HaMelech, in the depths of the king. All this happened to David because God orchestrated it because of the sin that he committed with Bathsheba. So this was not by chance that his son rebelled against him and all that. So the Pasuk says that this all happened Be'emek HaMelech. And God designed it in order to punish David HaMelech for his role. As she says in the bottom line, עצה עמוקה של הקדוש ברוך הוא שהוא מלך עולם שגזר על דוד כן במעשה בת שבע. As you see clearly, that was a punishment for בת שבע. And it says, דכתיב, הנני מקים עליך לעם מביתך. God says, I'm going to bring a bad, something bad from your house. It's going to come from within your troubles. And it came from his son. כי יוצא בדבר אתה אומר, we see when יעקב אבינו sent יוסף, הצדיק, that's right, to go see the brothers, what they were doing. And when, once he sent them, and they were alone, so they made the whole plan, they killed them, they sent them down to Egypt. So it says, Vayishlacheu me'emek Hebron. They sent Yosef down to the valley of Hebron. And we know that Hebron is not in the valley, so this cannot be geographical pasuk over here. Amar papa be'etza amuka she'oto tzaddik she'kavur be'Hebron. In the depth of the great Sadiq that's buried in Hebron, Avraham Avinu, that God promised Avraham Avinu that the Jewish people are going to go down to Egypt. So this was, or a foreign land. So this was, Yaakov started the process. Be'emek Hebron, the depth of the Sadiq that was buried in Hebron, right? God told Avraham Avinu that your nation is going to be strangers in a foreign land. Now it says, why did he make for himself a monument of Shalom? What's the purpose? Ki amar in li bin. He didn't have children, so he wanted like a legacy. So this was his legacy, that he'll be remembered through this monument that he erected. Ve'lo havule bin. He didn't have children. Ve'aketi ve'yivadidu lav Shalom shalosha banim u'batahat. He had four children, three boys and one girl. Amar av Yitzhak bar Avdimi shelo haya lo bin hagun malchut. That's the point. He didn't have somebody that would be able to succeed him. He didn't have any children that were worthy to be the king, and therefore he didn't think that he was going to be remembered by his children. They weren't too worthy of anything. So therefore, he had to make his own monument. It's interesting to note that there's a famous story of Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Alav Shalom, the Miri Rosh Hashiva, that he would go and pray by this monument. It's in Israel today, Yad Avshalom. And when they asked him, you know, what could you pray by such a place? It's not a holy, it's not a makom kadosh, obviously. So he would pray that, please, Borei Olam, you're our father in heaven, just like David was the father of Avshalom. And no matter what Avshalom did, with all his troubles that he created, and all the rebellion and all that, David still prayed for him. Because a father has mercy on a child no matter what he does. So therefore, just like David was Menachem, Kerachem Av Al Banim, so therefore, Rachem Alenu. Do the same thing, even though we're not so good, and we have Averot, but don't forsake us. So he held that this was a great place to me'orer that point of the father's mercy on the child, regardless of the behavior. Amar b'Yitzhak bar Avdimi shelo haya lo ben. We said that Chazda Amar Gemiri. We have a tradition. Kol asoref tevuato shel havero. Anybody that burns his friend's field, or actually his tevuah, right, the produce of his friend, like Avshalom did, he burnt the fields of Yoav ben Seruya. Eno maniach ben liyorsho. Well, mida keneged mida. He's not going to leave a son that is going to inherit him. Mida keneged mida. You burnt the seed
of somebody else, the seeds, meaning like the wheat, the product. So therefore, you're not going to have any benefit either from your product. Your product is not going to have any yirusha. So it says, you're not going to have any children. The Ehu and Avshalom, that is Kalya Lidi Yoav. He burnt the fields of Yoav. Dichtiv Vayomer Avadav Le'u Chalkat Yoav El Yadi Ve'lo Sam Se'orim. There was a barley over there in the fields. Lechu Vatzitu HaBa'ish. And he told him, go burn in the fire. Ve'yatzitu Avdei Avshom Et HaHaluka or Et HaHalka Ba'ish. Ve'chen Inyan HaTovah. Now let's go back to the Mishnah. Our Mishnah told us that not only God deals with us in the midah, keneged midah, for the bad things, chas v'shalom, but also for the good things. There's a measure for measure in play. And the Gemara Mishnah's example was Miriam. Miriam waited by the banks of the river to see her brother, what's going to happen, right? So it says measure for measure. They waited for her. How did they wait for her? When she got leprosy in the midbar. So it says the Jewish people did not travel for 7 days. So there's a measure for measure. So the Mishnah's language was V'chen y'inyan ha'tovah. Miriam, mi damed, is it comparable? Hatam hada shata, hacha shiva yomeh, which means it's a little different. Which means obviously the measure for measure over here is much more stronger, because she only waited shahat, which is a small amount of time. Tosfot says maybe 15 or 20 minutes, and for her brother, and they waited for 7 days. So it's not similar. She's not a minute mi damed to be da. It's even more. So why does the Mishnah say v'chin na'inyan ha'tovah? It's not so. The Tovah is even greater. The reward is more profound. Amar Abaye, ema u'inyan ha'tovah enochin. So change the text. Read it in the Mishnah, and when it comes to the good, it's not so. Meaning it's more. Amar l'raba, ha v'chin na'inyan ha'tovah ketanin. Yeah, but you can't. But the Mishnah does say that it is so. So it's hard to change it to say it is not so. The Tovah. So the Gemara says, "Ela Amar Ava Hachi Ketani." V'chein Yanyan Tovah. Yes, it's similar in the sense that what debeota midah, that there's a midah connected midah. Ulolam midah Tovah meruba midah puranut. But in the reward of it, the midah connected midah is much greater. So yes, v'chein Yanyan Tovah. That there's a midah connected midah. She waited, they waited for her. But it's not similar in the sense that the midah connected midah of Tovah is much greater. The Gemara says in Makot, when God rewards somebody, it's actually 500 times greater than you know, 500 times than what he did. Then the Puranut. So the Tosfot says a very good calculation over here. He says she waited 20 minutes, and they waited for 7 days. He says if you calculate 20 minutes, is actually 1/500th of 7 days. So it's exactly a midah keneged midah of 500 times. Comes the Gemara and says, now the pasuk completely says that her sister or his sister, Moshe Rabbeinu's sister, that is, stood from far on the banks of the river. So the Gemara is going to say every word in this pasuk, besides the simple pshat that we just explained, is actually a reference to the Shekhinah, to teach us what that the Shekhinah was behind all these events in saving the baby Moshe to eventually become the redeemer of Israel. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yitzchak pasuk ze kulo al shem shechina ne'emar." Right? All these words in the pasuk are referenced to the actual shechina. It says, "Vatetatzav dichtiv vayavo Hashem vayityasev achoto dichtiv emor lachokma achoti at merachok dichtiv merachok Hashem nerali ladaat dichtiv ki el deot Hashem ma dichtiv ma Hashem Elohecha shuel me'emach yase dichtiv ki lo yase Hashem Elohim davar. Lo, dichtiv vayikra lo Hashem shalom. So by the way, the Gemara just threw over every word in the pasuk and showed another pasuk which is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it connected the word. So therefore, we see Hashem was behind the whole episode of saving, obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi just says on the pasuk, emor lechokma achoti at. Shehi etzla kadosh baruch hu. The chokhmah of the Torah is by God. Umipiv, from His mouth we learn Torah shneimar ki Hashem yiten chokhmah mipiv daat utmuna. Right, so that's the pasuk. Emor lechokhmah achoti at. So v'tetatzav achoto. Right, so God is considered in that pasuk achoto, the sister, but it's referring to the fact that the Torah is by God. The Gemara is going to give us a lot of derashot on the Jewish people and their experience in Mitzrayim, the Rashot that we're familiar with. Vayakom Melech Hadash. Okay, so it starts. So a new king came upon Egypt, right? Vayakom Melech Hadash on Mitzrayim, Asher lo yada et Yosef. So the Gemara says, Rav Ushmoel, Mahloket. Had Amar Hadash Mamash. Someone has said that it was actually a new king. Vayakom Melech Hadash. Vahad Amar Shet Haddeshu Gezerotav. He was the same old Paro, it just he had new Gezerot. He wasn't fond of the Jews anymore. Manda Amar Hadash Mamash. The one that says he was actually new, Dikhtim Hadash. He said, Vayakom Melech Hadash. Umanda Amar Shet Haddeshu Gezerotav. It doesn't say that the first king died. It says Vayakom Melech Hadash. The pasuk should have said, right, Vayamot, right, the first king, and then would say Vayimloch Tachtav. From the fact that it didn't say Vayamot, must be it was the same king. Asher lo yada'at Yosef. Now, what does it mean he didn't know Yosef? Is it possible that a king in Egypt, whether it's the same guy, whether it's a new guy, is it possible they didn't know who Yosef was? Yosef was a national hero. So the Gemara says, "Dehava demeh keman de lo yada'a leklal." He made himself as if he did not know Yosef at all. Vayomri el amo, hine am bnei Yisrael. Right. So the first thing he did, this policy was, he made a meeting and he said that what the Jewish people are multiplying rapidly. So hine am bnei Yisrael. This was Paro's idea that he has to limit them. So it says Tana, who itchil beitzat tchila. Since it was Paro's idea to start the, you know, affliction against the Jewish people, defikach lakat tchila. That's why he got punished first. Who itchil beitzat tchila dichtiv vayomer el amo. Defikach lakat tchila. Where do we see got punished first? Dichtiv ubcha ubamecha ubchol abadecha. When the frogs came, the Sfardeya attacked Paro first. Ubcha ubavadecha. So therefore, midah kedegim that you started the trouble, Paro. So therefore, the punishment is going to get you first. Havan itchakema lo. So Paro's idea is, let us sit down and make a plan against him. It says lo. So the Gemara says lahem mivayle. It should say to them, meaning he's trying to make a plan against Klal Yisrael. Amar of Hamav Rabbi Hanina bo v'nitchakem lemoshi'an shel Yisrael, which means let us make a plan against the savior of Israel, which really means he was trying to plan against Hakadosh Baruch Hu, which means we have to outsmart God Himself. Why? Nidunam. How are we gonna punish the Jewish people? So it said, "Beman nidunam." How are we gonna punish them? Nidunam be'esh. If you're gonna punish the Jewish people with fire, ketivine kine Hashem be'esh yavo. Well, God's gonna punish us measure for measure. When Paro understood there's a measure for measure in the world, so he said, "If we're gonna punish the Jewish people with fire, God's gonna come against us in fire." Uchtiv ki be'esh Hashem nishpat. You know, God judges in fire. Beherev, if we kill the Jewish people with a sword, ketiv ubharbo et kol basar elabo v'nidunam b'mayim. Let's go kill the Jewish people in water. Paro felt he was safe with that because God cannot punish the Jewish. God can't punish the world with the punishment regarding water. Why? Shekivan nishba kadosh baruch hu she'eno mevi mabul la'olam. Right, God already promised he's not going to bring a flood to the world. So he figured he's safe. We can go drown all the Jewish children, and nothing can happen to us. Shnei emar kimei Noah zotni. Right, God promised Noah no more mabud. Ve'en enam yodrim. The only thing that Paro didn't know was she'al kol ha'olam kulo enu mevi, aval anuma achat hu mevi. That God promised not to bring a flood on the whole entire world, but local flooding he'll bring. So therefore, they didn't know that. Iname hu enu mevi, aval hen ba'in v'noflim betocho. That's right. He didn't bring the flood on the Egyptians. They walked into it. It means they walked into the flood. They walked into the waters. So therefore, it's much different. Right? The Egyptians were running towards it. So therefore, they tried to outsmart the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it did not work. The pasuk says regarding the Egyptians, Ki bedavar asher zadu alehim, says that God punished them on the item that they zadu literally means that they plotted. God punished them according to what they plotted. But the word zadu also means that they cooked. God punished them based on what they cooked. So the Gemara says a statement on this. Bekederash b'shelu banit b'shelu. In the pot that they cooked, in that same pot they were cooked. The pot over here being Yamsuf. Right, they cooked the Jewish people, so to speak. They punished them. They threw the kids in the water. Right, so in the pot that they cooked, they ended up getting cooked. which means they got drowned themselves. Now, me'em hashma, d'hai zadu, d'shna d'kederau. How do you know the word zadu is like a lashon of a pot? D'chtiv, v'yazid Yaakov nazid. Remember, Yaakov was making the lentil soup. So he's making the lentil soup in the pot. And this is v'yazid Yaakov nazid. So, b'davar asher zadu, zadu is also a lashon of a pot. Amar of Chaya bar Abba, Amar of Simai. Shelosha yu be'ota etza. There were actually three advisors to Paro during that that plan. Bilam ve'iyov ve'yitro. Bilam shi'atz neherag. Bilam that advised Paro to kill the Jewish people, he got killed. Midah keneged midah. Iyov sheshatak. Iyov that kept quiet. Nidon biyisurin. He got affliction. Yitro shebarach. Yitro, he ran away, which means he ran away instead of receiving kavod of becoming an advisor to Paro, which is a big thing. He was willing to give up all the honor, and he fled to Midian. And obviously, he protested against killing the Jewish people. Zachu mebnei banav sheyashvu b'lishkat gazit. His grandchildren ended up becoming members of the Sanhedrin. He ran away from the kavod, so the kavod ended up coming back to Yitro and his grandchildren. Shrei Emar. How do we know that Yitro's grandchildren were in the Sanhedrin? Now, Yitro had seven names. One of his names was Keni. So whenever time you see a reference in the Navi, the Kenim or Keni, you know it's referring to the family of Yitro. And what does it say in the Pasuk? U'mishpachat Sofrim Yoshvei Ya'abetz. And the families of the Sofrim, that's the Rashi, the Sofrim is the Tamidei HaChamim. It says Yoshvei Ya'abetz. Ya'abetz was a man. Adam Gadol Batorah, they called him Ya'abetz. Okay? It says he had students. Tara'itim, these were students. Tara'itim, who are these Tara'itim? So some say these were students that heard the Teruah on Har Sinai. Tara'itim, they called them. Or as she says, Tara'itim, that they sat at the gates of Yerushalayim. The word Tara'ah is a gate. Shimma'atim, these were students that were obedient. They listened to their father. One of the students over here was the children of Yonadav ben Rechiv. These were the family of the Kohanim. And the Gemara says that they were very obedient to their father. Their father told them, certain things don't do, whatever it is, and they were obedient. So they called those children Shimatim, the listeners. Sukatim. Sukatim are those students that lived in the Sukkot. Okay? Hema Hakinim. Here's the key. These were the people of the Kinim. Kinim is the Keni family. Who's the Keni family? Yitro's family. Habaim Mahmat Avi Bet Rechev Uchtiv Ubine Keni Hoten Moshe. And what happened to these students? They ended up becoming the leaders of the Jewish people of the Sanhedrin. So just got a pasuk to show us this point. Question of the facts you ask over here. So we understand the punishment of Bilam, that he got killed. The one that wanted to kill the Jewish people got killed on his own sword. And we can even understand the Enyan of Yitro. Yeah, he gave up all the kavod, and the kavod came back to him. But the question is, Iyov. Some will argue that Iyov just kept quiet. He didn't say anything. So why should he suffer such a punishment of Yisurin? Where's the Midah Keneged Midah? So the Mefarshim explained that Iyov's logic was, what am I going to gain by screaming? Paro is predetermined to kill the Jewish people. And obviously that's why Yitro ran away. He knew that he can't change Paro's mind. This was just a kangaroo court over here. He wanted to kill the Jewish people. So Yov's logic was, what am I going to gain by protesting? What am I going to gain by screaming? So God said, what are you going to gain? God brought Yisurin on Yov. He was in pain. So he was screaming. Oh, it hurts. And I told him, what are you gaining by screaming? The pain's not going away. And like, what do you see? That sometimes you scream even though there's no benefit. You have to protest. So that was a midah keneged midah. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz over here has a famous piece where he comes along and says, what do you mean? It seems that Iyov's punishment is even worse than Bilam. Bilam died. In 1 second, he was dead. But Iyov suffered for a full year. Some will argue that this pain and suffering that he went through was even more difficult. You have to remember, he lost all his children, lost all his money, his pain, his body was racked with all different disease. So who was worse? You could argue that maybe Balaam's 1 second death wasn't as painful. So Chaim answers that you see from over here that it's not so. Why? Because with all the pain of Iyov, he was still alive. And there's nothing greater than life. And therefore, because he can still do mitzvot, and he can still connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he can still buy eternity. So therefore, like David HaMelech says, Odecha ki anitani vahili lishua, or like the pasuk says, velamavet lo netanani. Correct? Which means, you gave me yasod yasirani ya. You gave me tremendous amount of yisurin, David HaMelech says. But I thank you, velamavet lo netanani. You didn't kill me. So David HaMelech felt grateful, even to be alive through his yisurin. So really, Bilam's punishment is worse, because Bilam got death. Death is, you can't come back from that. But the yisurin is, at least he had life, so it wasn't as punishable. Comes the Gemara and says, "V'nilcham banu ve'ana min ha'aretz." Now, part of the plan was, or why they were nervous was, that the Jewish people are going to populate very quickly. There's going to be a coup that they're going to wage against Paro. "V'nilcham banu ve'ana min ha'aretz." Now, literally, it means they will fight us, and they will leave the land. Now, really, it should say, Ve'alinu mivayde, which means they're going to kick us out of the land. She just say ve'alinu menaris. So the Gemara says, Amar v'Abba Barkana ke'adam shemekalel et atzmo ve'tole kelelato b'chaveru. It's like a person that's cursing his friend, or cursing himself, but he doesn't want to curse himself, so he puts his curse on his friend. I mean, what's going to happen to him? He doesn't want to say, like al tiftach pe, the Satan. So he says it. He says they're going to be so populated, and they're going to fight us. And they're going to leave the land. What they really meant, and we're going to leave the land, but they didn't want to say it on themselves. On a different level, we could say that no, that was an option that they were concerned about. That they're going to fight us, and they're going to leave. Which means there was a concern that they're just going to escape. So, Ve'alam and Aris can mean actually referring to the Jewish people, as the Pasuk says. This is the Derasha of the Chachamim. Ve'yasimu adav sarim misim. So it says they placed on them, or actually on him to be precise, Vayasimu alav Sarim Misim was like the tax collectors, right, the taskmasters. So the Gemara says, Alehem Mivayle. Right, what do you mean Vayasimu alav? They placed on him. You should say on them. They put the taskmasters. Tana de Berabi El Hazar, Berabi Shimon, Melamed Shivio, Malben, Vetalulu Faro, Besavaro. Vayasimu alav. Paro on the first day was actually part of the work. They went, they put a, malben over Paro's neck. That's like where they make the bricks and things like that. And he himself went to work. So the reason they did that was so nobody can come along and say, well, I'm Mr. Nish, you know, I can't work and things like that. So, well, you're worse than Paro? So, Vayasimu alav, said Misim, which means Paro himself coaxed the Jewish people into working by going into the pits himself, like it says, every Jewish people that came along and said, I'm too delicate to do the work. Well, you're worse than Paro. Paro himself is working. Get to work. So the Pasuk says, right, that she says the Malbin is like the plate, the defus, the mold, exactly, they make the bricks from. In any event, the Gemara says, Sarim Misim, why are they called Sarim Misim? It says, Davar Shem Meshim. Meshim over here, that it fatigues and weakens the person, which means it causes the person to become, weakened and tired. Deman Anoto Besiblotam. Right? In order to pain or torture him in their work. So it should say, Ve'anotam v'ayle. Should say in order to torture them, right? Leman anoto. It was leman anoto the Faro b'sivlotam the Israel. God's ultimate plan was to punish Paro. He wanted Paro to suffer. So therefore, he brought Paro to punish the Jewish people, so he could take it out on Paro. So therefore, leman anoto. Yeah, the goal was leman anoto to torture Paro. How is he going to torture Paro b'sivlotam the Israel through what he did to Israel? Like he wanted. Get the double thing of it. Punish the Jews, but use Paro as the stick so he can take his revenge out on Paro. They built storage cities for Paro. Now this word miskenot is a machloket. Rav Ushmuel. Had amar shem miskenot et ba'alehim. They put their owners in danger. Because as a result of Paro making the Jewish people build these cities, which is the work, what ended up happening to them? They got drowned in the Yam Suf. So therefore, arim miskinot, meaning melashon sakana, cities that put their owners in danger. The hachamim omrim shemim maskinot et baalehin, buildings that make their owners poor. Why? So the Gemara learns a lesson over here. Da'amar mor kol ha'osik bebinyan mitmasken. Anybody that involves himself in building becomes poor. Why? Because of the bills, like we saw in Masechet Yibamot, that a person that involves in building, it's never what he thinks it's going to be the price. It's always much more. It's always more expensive. So therefore, arim miskinot. Paro got involved in construction, and that's arim miskinot. It cost a lot of money. Et pitom v'tam says the names of the cities were pitom and tam says. Rav Ushmoel had amar pitom shema. Some say the actual name was Pitom. V'lama nikra shema Ramses, Shirishon Rishon Mitroses. As they built them, the buildings came down. Ramses Rishon Mitroses. They collapsed. Right? They weren't. And what? They had to build it again. They just kept on building over and over again. That was part of the psychological torture that Paro did to the Jewish people. They had them build buildings that would fall and just have them build it again. No satisfaction of any sense of completion. The Had Amar. Ramses Shema. Some say no, the real name of the city was Ramses. Ve'lama nekra Shema Pitom, Shirishon, Rishon, Pitehom Bolo. It was built like on a sinkhole. Pitehom. Right? So it was like quicksand. Mm-hmm. So every time they would build it, it would sink and then have to build it again. Pitehom. Ve'chashir ya'anu oto, ken yirbe, ve'chen yifrotz. The more they would torture the Jewish people, the more they will multiply and the more they will flourish. So the Gemara says, ken rabu ve'chen parsu. You should say it in the past tense. The more they multiplied and the more they flourished. So the Gemara says, Mivayel, it should say that. Amar Ishtakish, Ruach HaKodesh Mebassartan. Ken Yirbe Vechen Yifros. That was actually Ruach HaKodesh saying it. Paro's coming along and saying, Pen Yirbe. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and says, no, Ken Yirbe. Paro says, Pen Yifros. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, Ken Yifros. So that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that. Line by Yakutz mepnei bnei Israel says, and the Egyptians by Yakutz, they despised the Jewish people after a certain state. So that the Gemara says melamed shayu domim be'aneihem kekotzim, which means that when they saw the Jewish people populating all over, we became like thorns in their side. The Midrash says the Jewish people started to come out and go to the theaters and all the places where the Egyptians used to be, and they said, look at all these Jews over, we can't even get a seat in our theaters anymore. So it became like a thorn in the side of the Egyptians. Vayakutz vayavidu misraim et bnei Israel befarich. Right, the work was called farich. So what does farich mean? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar amar befarach, which means with a soft tongue. Which means initially they got paid, like the Midrash says. I mean, Paro came along and said, however many bricks you make, we're going to pay you $5 a brick, for example. So they went, they made so many bricks. Now the next day, they came along and said, okay, they marked down each guy. This guy's capable of 500 bricks, 1,000 bricks. Now they knew their capabilities. The next day they said, okay, make the same 500. But we're not paying you anything. So they lured them in, befarech, befarach, with a soft soft attraction. So it says, Rabbi Shemuel ben Hamani Amar, befricha. Now he learns, no, befarech means he broke them. Barech, befricha, which means it was... backbreaking, b'shibaron aguf, that she says, right? He broke their bodies. Ve'imarelu et hayehem ba'avodah kashav b'chomer b'lbenim. So they embittered our lives with work, hard work, chomer, lebenim, bricks and all that, mortar. Amar ava b'tchila b'chomer b'lbenim. It started off with brickwork. However, b'sof u'chora avodah b'sadeh. Then it turned into anything, all menial jobs, and jobs that obviously were even more difficult. את כל עבודותם אשר עבדו בהם בפרך אמר רב שמואל בן חמני אמר רב יונתן שהיו מחליפים מלאכת אנשים לנשים ומלאכת נשים לאנשים. Part of the torture was he would give the jobs of ladies to the men, which the men are not they're not equipped to do the job of the ladies, whatever that is, cooking and weaving and all the different things like that, and they gave the job of the men to the ladies, which also, that's heavy work and labor like that. So both were switched. Ulman da amar nameh hatam beferach. That says again, in this pasukah's language was, asher avidu b'hem befarech. So it says the word parech twice. So the Gemara says, even the opinion that said parech in the first pasuk was in a soft way, is modeh uvehacha vaday b'fricha. Here in the pasuk is definitely referring to backbreaking labor. I mean, the first pasuk is a machloket, but the second pasuk clearly was talking about parech, which means backbreaking work. Darash rav avira b'schad nashim tzadkaniyot shayu beoto ador nigalu yisayim emisayim. In the zechut of the righteous woman that were in Egypt and that generation, the Jewish people merited the redemption. Why? So just as an introduction to the next piece of Gemara, the men were very disenchanted. They saw there was a galut already for many years, and they didn't want to have any more children. And it was the ladies that had tremendous emunah, that they knew that just like God promised them that they're going to go down to Egypt, God said they're going to come out of Egypt as well. And therefore they enticed their husbands to have children. And as a result, even though they were living at a time where Paro was killing all the children, they put their faith in God, and God took care of the children, as we're going to see in the Gemara. And it was those kids that were born from the emunah of these ladies that actually came out of Egypt. Which means one of the important ingredients of a redemption, you needed a Kiryat Yamsuf, but you also needed Jews. And if it wasn't for the ladies, there would be no people to redeem. So therefore the Gemara gives the credit to the emunah that the woman had. And the Gemara tells the story exactly how they had faith in bringing these children into the world. When the ladies went to draw water in the wells to give it to their husbands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mizamen lehem dagim ketanim b'chadem. So God brought fish into the pails. Veshoavot mechsamay mechsamayim. So half water, half fish. Ubaot veshoftot shtei kederot. They went. They put two pots on the fire. Achad shel hamin vechad shel dagim. Right, one of hot water and one of fish. Umodichot etzel b'chalein esadeh. They would take the two pots of water, one pot of fish, outside to the field where the husbands were. Umarchisot otan. They would, you know, bathe their husbands. Vesachot otan. Right, and anoint them. Umachidot otan. They would give them something good to eat, the fish. Umashkot otan. Give them something to drink. Veniskakot lahem ben shvatayim. And then they were together with them. Ben shvatayim by the border. You know, over there in the hidden place over there. Shnei emad. Im tishkebun ben shvatayim. Which means they slept with their husbands, Ben Shafatayim, like in the fields over there. Now it says, Bishchad, Tishkibun, and Shafatayim. And that's Zechut, that the Jewish ladies, again, that emunah, that they wanted to get pregnant and have children, Zechu, Yisid, Bizat Messiah. The Jewish people merited the rewards of all the money that they made when they came out. Shnei Emad, the next pasuk says, Kanfei Yonah Nihpa Bakesef. The Jewish people are compared to a Yonah, like a dove. And it says they were covered with Kesef. Ve'evrotea b'raklak harutz. Ve'evrotea and its limbs were covered also with gold. Now, ve'chevan shemitabberot, what happened when the Jewish women were about to give birth? Ba'ot lebatehen. Which means they got pregnant, they would go home, finished. Now they're pregnant for however many months. Ve'chevan shemagiyaz ma'moladehen. Now when the time to give birth came, they knew they couldn't give birth back in Egypt, because Paro would find out about it and he would kill the children. So what did they do? They went to the fields and they gave birth under the apple tree. Shnei emar, tahat ha-tapuach, or articha. And the other person says, shama ha-melatcha emecha, shama ha-melat yeladatcha, which means they gave birth under the trees over there. V'kadosh baruch hu, sholeyach meshme marom, God would send from, he would dispatch from the heavens, mi shemenakir o meshaper otam. Somebody that cleans the baby, the baby's born. The baby has to be clean, and also the bones have to be, you know, straightened and set into place. Kehayazu shemeshaperet avada, just like a midwife that makes the child nice. Shnei emar u molatecha biyom oledet otcha lo karata sharecha. On the day you were born, there was nobody there to cut your umbilical cord. And then nobody was there to wash you. Elawat, God sent angels to cut the umbilical cord and to wash the children. And then the angels would provide these Jewish children two stones. One of oil and one of honey. The honey to eat, the oil to anoint themselves. The kevach makirim ben Mitzrayim. The Egyptians saw what's going on over there. They see a whole nation of kids. Ba'in the horgan. So they came over there by the apple trees to kill them. They got swallowed into the ground. The ground opened up and swallowed the children. So they brought their oxen. The horshin al gabad. So they wanted to plow the ground in order to kill the children that were underneath. Shnei emar al gabi harshu horshim. On my back they plowed. The Achar Shodichan, after the Egyptians left, Hayum Batzbetzin Veyotzin Ke'esev HaSadeh, the Jewish children grew out of the ground like grass. Shne'emar Revava, the myriads, Ke'sema HaSadeh Netatich. Right, they were like the grass of the fields. V'chivan Shemet Gadilin Bain Adarin Adarim Lebatehim. They came back to their homes in flocks. The Ben Ish Chai says that was part of the miracle, that they all looked exactly like their parents. So they knew exactly where to go back. And all of a sudden, in one shot, 20, 30 kids come and they say, where are your children? Shene'emar v'terbi v'tigdeli v'taboi ba'adei adayim. Ba'adei adayim is they came adorned. Al tekre ba'adei adayim ela ba'adrei adarim. They came in herds back to their parents. Ukshenigla kadosh baruch hu alayam hem kiru te'eda shene'emar zeh eli v'anveh. When they came out of Mitzrayim, they were the ones that recognized the Shekhinah, because they were raised by the Shekhinah. So they were the ones that said, Zeh Eli, this is the God. This is the one, because the parents kept on asking them, who raised you? We don't know. We can't explain it. So when they saw the Shekhinah, they said, Zeh Eli, this is the one. Fayomer Melech Mussalam named Ledot Avriyot. The Gemara says, back on one last Rasha, how Paro told the Jewish midwives, he wanted the Jewish midwives to kill the children at birth. Who are these Jewish midwives? So machloket. Rabbi Shmuel, Hadamar Isha Ubita. Some say it was a lady and her daughter. The Hadamar Kalav Hamuta, a lady and her daughter-in-law. Mandamar Isha Ubita Yochevet Miriam. Some say it was Yochevet Miriam, mother daughter. Umandamar Kalav Hamuta Yochevet VeElisheva. That was Aharon's wife. So it was Yochevet and her daughter-in-law Elisheva. Tanya Kemandamar Isha Ubita. We have a brayta that says it was the mother daughter Yochevet and Miriam. The Tanya Shifra Zu Yochevet. Really Shifra. That the Torah calls these two midwives Shifra and Pua. Shifra actually was Yocheved. Why do they call her Shifra? Shemeshaperet et havalad, because she makes the valad nice by putting the bones in place and making the head a nice shape. Davar acher Shifra sheparu v'rabu yiseh b'yameha. Shifra paru v'rabu, which is in her time the Jewish people multiplied. Right, to her credit, because she didn't kill the Jews. She gave birth. She let them give birth. Not even regular. Pua zumriam. Velamerka shema pua shaita pua. She would coo the children. Right? She would make her sounds. Poo poo poo. Davar acher. Pua shaita pua beruach hakodesh. She would broadcast with divine inspiration. Veomeret atida imishtet ben shemoshian. Shemoshian to say that my mother's one day going to give birth. Tiri Moshia, obviously, so Pa, she broadcast, because she had a prophecy. Vayomer, so Paro said, right? When you are going to give birth to the, when you're going to help the Jewish ladies give birth, Uri'itin al ha'ovnayim, you will look at the ovnayim. So this says, my ovnayim, what is this ovnayim? Amar of Hanan, siman gadol masalem. You see, Paro gave them a siman. He wanted them to kill the babies when the babies were still in the womb, for two reasons. Number one, so the woman will not realize what they're doing. They stick their hands in and kill the child. And number two, because you know Yocheved and Miriam are tzadkaniyot. And one of the seven mitzvot in Noach is lo tirtzach. So therefore, but if it's still in the womb, before Matan Torah, it's not considered lo tirtzach. So therefore, he was giving them a siman, how to know exactly at the time when they're about to give birth. So they can go there and right away do what they have to do. So he told them, siman, what was the siman of Madan? B'sha'a shekorat nilid. You gotta know, when a lady is about to give birth, yerchotea mitztaninot ka'abanim, her thighs become cold like stones. It says, uri'iten al ha'ovnayim. You'll see the stones. Meaning, you'll see when you see the thigh become cold, you know the baby's coming out at that point. So stick your hand in there and kill the child. V'id da'amre, and some say, k'dichtiv, v'eret bita yotzer. Some say, no, if you all look at a craftsman, how does a craftsman sit? A craftsman sits with his legs apart from himself, and he has a stone in between him, and that's where he does the work. V'ineh hu osim alecha ala banim. Ma yotzir zeh, just like the yotzir zeh, yirich mikan v'yirich mikan, right? One thigh is on one side, right? He has his one leg over here, one leg over here, and he has the sadan in between. V'sadan v'emsa afisha, yirich mikan v'yirich mikan v'ho v'avalad v'emsa. Good, so that's what it means, ala obnayim. It's like the yotzir, like the craftsman that sits in that position. That's why they call the lady the obnayim. In Benu Vamiten Otos, if it's a boy, kill him. That was Paro's decree. Amar of Harina Siman Gadol Masalem. He gave him a Siman. How are they going to know it's a boy? Again, because we want it to be done, Paro wants it to be done inside the womb. So the ladies will not recognize what they were doing. So, but only the boys is supposed to happen to. So, how do you know if it's a boy? You have to wait until it comes out. So the Gemara said, they gave him a siman. Ben panav lemata, bat paneha lemala. In the olden days, a baby boy would come out face down, and a girl would come out face up. So right away, when you see the head down, you know it's a boy, so put him inside. And Mefarshim explained that she says, why? Because that's the position of the tashmish. Hu lemala vihi lemata. So the position of the tashmish, his head was down, and then her head was up. So that's the way the boy comes out, and that's the way the girl comes out. Amen v'amen.